ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। You can show verse number 10, 52, 38. Hare Krishna. So some of you might have been coming regularly for this session on Rukmini Mangalam. Please all of you repeat.
Katva Mukunda Mahati Kulashila Rupa. Vidyavayo Dravina Dham Abhiratma Tulyam. Dhirapatim Kulavati Navrinita Kanya. Kalendra Simha Naraloka Manobhiramam.
When the Brahmana brought the letter to Krishna, Krishna told the Brahmana, you only open the letter of Rukmini and you only read out of it. By saying so, Krishna told the Brahmana that I trust you as much as Rukmini trusts you. She has trusted you and she has sent the letter with you. So, you must be certainly a very confidential associate of Rukmini. So, I trust you also. So, you only read the letter. So, he began reading the letter. In the previous verse, Shutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara, there we discussed Rukmini was speaking about how she heard about Krishna's being Bhuvana Sundara, the most beautiful in the whole universe, and also his divine qualities. And then she said, when your qualities entered my ears, I gave my heart completely to you. And she said, anybody in this world who has eyes to see, you are the only object worthy of seeing. If somebody has eyes, they can benefit with their eyes only by seeing you. Like that, she said. Rupam drishyam drishyamatam akhila artha labham. Vai achyuta achyuta avishati chittama patrapamme. She's telling that my mind is constantly hovering over your name, your form, your pastimes, your qualities, your activities, Krishna. So much so that I have lost my heart. Like that she's telling in the previous verse. In the current verse she's telling,
Katva Mukunda Mahati Kulashila Rupa.
She's telling, who is there in this world who will not want to marry someone like you whose name is Mukunda? The meaning of the word Mukunda means Mukti ko bhi kuchit karne wale. Bhagawan ko Mukunda bolte hain. The Lord who makes even moksh appear to be insignificant. He is called as Mukunda. So, why the moksha becomes insignificant? Generally, in this world, we all do activities to become free from sufferings. Is it not true? So, Rupa Goswami Pad, he says that all living beings in this world work for bhukti. Some intelligent living beings, they want to get rid of this world, because they know that bhukti ultimately leads to suffering in this world. So they want mukti. So, but he says that both bhukti and mukti are two pishachas, he says. Pishach means ghost. Why ghost? You'll be, because most of the organizations will tell you to cut the cycle of birth and death and get moksha is the goal of life. How many of you have heard it? In India, majority of the organizations will tell you that. So when I first came to ISKCON, I was surprised. These people say moksha is like pishachi. I was shocked when I first heard it. And later I understood why Then I heard that Srinivas Acharya's famous song. It is said, Gopi, what is that? Kaivalya Nistarakau. Kaivalya Nistarakau means the six Goswamis have saved the world from going to Brahma Jyoti. And merging into Brahma Jyoti, remaining there idling, devoid of any service. Why so? What is so bad about going there? You see, a father who was a very big multi-millionaire, he had built many schools, colleges, cinema theaters, hotels, he had opened many places. But he wanted his son to go to one of his schools and get educated. Imagine if a director's son studies in the same college, probably he may be a little bit be freaking out, because he may think that my father is a director and owner also. Is it not? So, nobody can ask me anything. He may have a little more freedom. People may fear to correct him or do anything. Correct me. So, when the father sent the son to the school, sometimes some teachers are very strict teachers. So, one of the teachers saw the boy, you know, all the time drawing some caricatures and creating some mischief in the class. So, she told him, you go out and kneel down. So generally when children are told to kneel down, what are they supposed to do? You go and kneel down and then you come back so that you don't do mischief again. Is it not? But what this boy did, he slowly escaped from the vision of the teacher and he went to the cinema theater. He ran away to the cinema theater. But his father was in the cinema theater that day. He watched him. This fellow is in the cinema. Now he didn't go to school at all. Because the school and the cinema theater both belong to the father. Similarly, the spiritual world is a place where everybody is surrendered to Krishna. But we are sent to material world, which is like a school, where we can give up our mischievous tendencies so that we learn to surrender to Krishna lovingly. Correct now. Then we pass through the school of material world. Then you pass through, you earn a degree at the end of your education. Then you become qualified. Then you take up your father's business and you assist the father. But imagine somebody sent to the material world. Instead of getting reformed here, they want to escape and go to Brahma Jyoti, where there is no service. Where they want to enjoy the Brahman. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So in Brahma Jyoti also the jivas are idling, not doing any service. Similarly, in Vishnu's navel also, there are jivatmas lying, sleeping. The Kauravendra Purastri, the women on the top of the roof in the Kaurava's palace, when Krishna was leaving for Dwaraka, they were all talking amongst themselves. Anyonyamasit sanjalpa uttamashloka chetasam Kauravendra Purastrinam Sarvashruti Manoharaha. It is said, what would the woman generally talk with each other? Generally, when you see men in the company, they talk about money matters, how to escape from income tax, or how to make more money. Isn't it? Or people, man talks about woman, woman talk about man. Or people, if they're a little more grown up and have grown up children, they talk about, you know, daughter's marriage or son's job. Things like that people talk. But these Kauravendra Purastrinam, what they were talking, do you know? When I first read it, I was surprised how women were so philosophical even in Vedic times. They are telling, this personality Krishna, who is walking in front of us, who is he? They said, he is the Adi Purusha, who is the source of all the creation. From him all the universes have emanated. Not only that, when he has to emanate all the universes, he expands himself as Mahavishnu and he creates all the universes. Not only that, the jivas who are sleeping in his navel, because they are naughty jivas. Sometimes a father says to your son, better come, we will go to Bombay. But the son says, I want to drive your car. You sit by the side, I will drive. But father says, how can you drive my car? You are a small kid. Then the son says, if you don't let me drive, then I'll go to next room and sleep. You've seen children, naughty children sometimes go to sleep. When parents, they shake them up, come, 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 get up. No, I'm not coming. Like that, the jiva is also sleeping in the navel of Vishnu. Because he wants to be independent. And Vishnu is thinking, you know, I am having such ecstatic pastimes with my antaranga shakti, Lakshmi. And this poor jiva is not joining my pastimes. Just see how naughty he is. He's just going in another room and sleeping. But he wants the naughty jiva to become, you know, aligned with his plan. So what he does, these ladies were saying, so Lord creates all the universes, material universes, and he picks up those sleeping jivas and puts them in those universes, and he expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Not only he gives them material names and material forms for each of these jivas, but he also sends the scriptures, so that right now all of us, we have material names and material bodies with us. Imagine if there was no scripture, is there any way we can go back to Godhead? But Lord has so kindly given us the scriptures to help us realize these material names and material forms are superficial to the soul. Not only that, after giving the scriptures, still he finds people are not reading scriptures, so he descends as incarnations. You know, he performs various pastimes so that there are people who will see with their own eyes, they'll get to see, and those who couldn't see, they can read the scriptures. Then he sends the devotees, then he makes the holy dhams and everything. So he himself becomes a teacher. He becomes Rishabhadev for 100 sons. He becomes Krishna to teach Arjuna. He becomes Hamsavatar to teach Chatushkumaras and Brahma. He becomes, who else, as a teacher? Lord becoming teacher incarnation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, he also is a great teacher. So these are all teacher incarnations. Rishabhadev, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vyasdev, most important. One Haribol for him. Haribol. So Rishikesh brought out the most important name, Vyasdev, because Vyasdev is literary incarnation who gave all the scriptures, you know. So they were saying that the Lord has come in this world, Patranaya Sadhana Vinashati Dushkrisam Dharma Samsthapanarthaya, further he himself comes. And he helps the jivas to come back to him. And then they said one very important thing. Lord has a dual role. He's a creator, maintainer, destroyer of these worlds. But that's not his primary role. That's only secondary role. But what's his primary role? He exchanges confidential pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world, which are more intimate. And they said, let us glorify those pastimes. Then they spoke about Mathura and Dwaraka and Vrindavan, residents. Then they spoke about them. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Sarva Shruti Manohara means, it is said, Anyonyam Asit Sanjalpa. They were all doing Sanjalpa. These ladies were talking on the rooftop amongst themselves. But their Chetana was on Uttama Shlok Krishna, who is the Lord glorified by choice poetry. And he also says, Kauravendra Purastrina Sarva Shruti Manohara. It was very nectarian speech. Why? Because they were speaking in very simple Sanskrit amongst themselves. They were not scholars, sir. They were not very great philosophers. But why it is considered as very sweet? Because they were focused on direct knowledge about Krishna, which is confidential pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual sky. And also they were talking about how to strike a relationship with Krishna. So that is why it was very sweet, he says. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Sarva Shruti Manohara means even Shrutis want to hear these ladies speaking. Shrutis are Upanishads, which are generally studied by the Jnanis. Even they feel ashamed that we only give indirect knowledge about the Supreme Lord. Whereas these ladies are speaking direct confidential knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Supreme Lord. So, Shrutis also want to extend their ears hearing from this Kauravendra Purastrina, like that he says. So, why I was telling you this, these ladies were speaking on such an exalted knowledge about Krishna, about how he creates this world and how he gives all the species the respective bodies. But the goal is Lord comes to take us back home, back to Godhead. So, In this way, the father was thinking, my son, he is supposed to study in the school, graduate and come back to home, and then take up a business. But he is escaping from the school and going to movies. Similarly, all jivas who escape from the material world and go to Brahma Jyoti are like that. Because what is Brahman? Brahman is Lord Krishna's kanti only. Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham. 14th chapter, 27th verse, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So Lord is saying, look at these naughty jivas. They have left the material world to come and get stuck in my Brahma Jyoti and not do any service. So Lord is not very happy. So again they fall back. Aruhya kritsirena parampadam tataha patanti ado anadrita vishmadangrehe. Not having got a permanent shelter there, they come back to the material world. And then again they take different bodies again. So in this way, moksha is not a very great thing. Moksha means the lazy souls who don't want to serve Krishna, they go there. And that is why Rupa Goswami Pad says, he says, if a Vaishnava devotee also is lazy in devotional service, that is moksha tendency. If you feel laziness, what is it? Moksha tendency is it. One time I asked a group of 1,000 students that how many of you are thinking that after death, let me go back home, back to Godhead and relax in an easy chair there. Everybody raised a hand. They were all young boys. They were all Utkarsh boys. Utkarsh boys are generally very young. They are just now beginning 16 rounds. Then I told them, you see, when you go to the spiritual sky, our notion is Krishna has the key to spiritual world. You know, because Krishna has the key, we have to pray to him. Hare Krishna, open the door. And then he opens the door and says, please go in now. And then we can go and relax there. People generally think this is actually mukti kam. And so in the spiritual world, the first thing they will ask you, who are you? So we have to say, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhuta. Oh, you are from Bhaktivedanta Swami's movement. Prabhupada's movement. Okay, you are coming in Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. Very good. What's your name? Surely make sure you have a name with Das or Dasi at the end of your name. They will accept. Okay, you are a servant. Supreme Lord. So, okay, why have you come here? What we should say? To relax, if you say, they will say, go back. What we have to say? To serve Krishna. Then they will ask you another question. How long? 1 week or 2 weeks? Yeah? For all time to come. Then they will ask, oh, really? You want to serve for all time? Who all you want to serve? If you say only Krishna, they will ask. You have to say, no, I want to serve Krishna, Hari, Guru, Vaishnav. I want to serve Hari, I want to serve Guru and all the Vaishnavas. Then they will say, it's a pakka fellow. He's learned proper knowledge. Chatakchak, they put. The permission granted, go in. After that. So, we should be very clear about our philosophy. Our philosophy teaches, Vaishnava Siddhanta teaches that the greatest attainment is service to the Supreme Lord. So, bhukti is meant to be enjoyed by the low-class living beings in this world who are always chasing after the mirage of material pleasures, earthly or heavenly. And refined souls, they aspire for mukti, which is also rejected by the Vaishnavas. That is why Vidura says, the pitied are pitied by the devotees, he says. I was wondering, what is this pitied or pitied? It comes in the Bhagavatam, you will read. So the most pitiest are the bhukti people. And they are pitied by the jnanis, thinking that, look at these fellows, they are all after bhukti in this world, fools. But then, Vaishnavas look at jnanis and pity them also. Because you are going to Brahma Jyoti where there is no seva there. So the Vaishnavas feel pity for whom? Impersonless. So Vaishnavas asker only for service. That is why his name is Mukunda. Mukunda means when one comes in connection with Krishna, the attraction to Krishna becomes so great. Mukti, Mukulitanjali, Sevate, Asman. He says, Billumangal Thakur. Mukti is standing at my door and saying, sir, please may I come in? May I serve you? And he says that, I say, get lost. I don't need you anymore. I used to aspire for you long before. But now I have Krishna's bhakti and I will do it for all time to come. So she is telling, Katva Mukunda Mahati. Mahati means most intelligent. Krishna is, she is telling, Krishna, you are the most intelligent. She, why? Because casually he spoke some Bhagavad Gita. Krishna never wrote a book called as Bhagavad Gita, did he? Bhagavat means Lord. Gita means song. So Bhagavad Gita means Lord sang a song in the battlefield of Kurukshetra for about 1 hour or so, some 700 verses. Just like I am talking to you casually like that, the Lord was speaking to Arjuna. But each of the words were so worthy and transcendental that they became recorded as a book called as Bhagavad Gita. Which means he is so intelligent that every word he releases from his mouth, the Lord releases. All over the world, commentators take their pens and scribes and everything, they come to write commentary because the words are coming out of the mouth, they are like pearls. Whatever comes out of Krishna's mouth. So that's why he is intelligent. Lord is the most intelligent. There is one Sanskrit word called as Vavadukka. Vavadukka means a person who can comprise a large volume of information in a small number of words. Is called as a Vavadukka. Like we say, truth spoken concisely is called, anybody knows? Kaviraj Goswami says, eloquence on Haribol for Mataji. Haribol. Anybody gives a precise answer, they'll get a Haribol. So, truth spoken concisely is called eloquence. So, Krishna's speech is eloquent in Bhagavad Gita. He has used every word, measured word. Another meaning of the word Vavadukka means one whose speech is very sweet and nectarian and which has deep meaning also. That is also the meaning of Vavadukka. So that's why it's called as Mahati. And Kula Shila Rupa, she's telling. Kula means you come in a very great Kula where Shibi Chakravarti was born. The great Nahusha was born. See, Nahusha was a ordinary human being, but why Nahusha is born in Chandra Vamsh? What is so special about Nahusha? At one time, demigods were discussing amongst themselves that they have no Indra. The Indra post was vacant. And generally, only demigods were taken for posting in Indra's position. But at that time, Nahusha was such a famous king. The demigods were looking from heaven down at one of the kings in this world who could be brought to heaven and made into the next Indra. So that such a Nahusha comes from Chandra Vamsha also. And you all know Shibi Chakravarti, you know, who at one time gave shelter to one of his praja. See, the word praja means that which is born, which includes animals, birds, aquatics, insects, everybody. So a king is supposed to give shelter to all his citizens, including animals, birds, everybody. So Shibi Chakravarti, you know, when a dove came flying to him for shelter, he gave shelter, but very soon a eagle came flying behind him. And then the eagle said, if you claim that he is your citizen, I am also as much a citizen as he. So, you have to give me shelter also because I generally eat non-veg. The eagle said. So, I have to eat flesh. So, I need the dove. Either you give me the dove or give me something equivalent. So, then he took a taraju and put dove on one side. And he started cutting from his own flesh and placing the flesh on the other side. But actually, mysteriously, so much flesh he kept, still it was not, you know, becoming equal because the dove was Agni Dev and eagle was Indra Dev. They both had come in different forms. Finally, Shibi Chakravarti told his ministers and everybody that since I have given the promise, I cannot go back on my word. So he himself sat in the other side. As soon as he sat, exactly it became equal. So then Shibi told the eagle, now you can eat me. And the eagle smiled. And next moment he changed into Indra. And Dao became Agnidev, and they both gave abundant blessings to Shibhi Chakravarti and they went away. This goes to show Shibhi Chakravarti's charitable disposition, his protection for his citizens, and his truthfulness to the vow taken. And he comes in Chandravamsa also, in which Krishna is coming. Similarly, there is another great personality who comes in Krishna's dynasty called Pururava. Now, generally, our devotees, as soon as they hear Pururava, they will look one another. You know, they'll say, hey, Pururava, you know, he's the same fellow who was lusting after Urvashi. You see, often in Vaishnava community, because we hear a lot of things, many times we develop certain notions based on our conditioned vision. Like, you know, one sannyasi was speaking about how so and so he meditated on the 400 form and he went to Vaikuntha. And the question answer one boy was asking, oh, he went to Vaikuntha only? Huh? I thought he was asking. As if Vaikuntha is your next door here or somewhere, you know, like that. Actually, Vaikuntha also is not very easy to go. Because we get used to hearing about Goloka, Vaikuntha and all that, we take it very cheaply. Similarly, Pururava also was a man on earth, but Urvashi in heaven heard his glories. And she became attracted to him. And in fact, generally the heavenly damsels, they will not marry earthly beings unless the earthly beings are very highly qualified. Only then they will consider marrying them. And Pururava's glories had spread even to heaven. So that time she came. And then when she came, she said that I am from heaven. I will only eat basmati rice, you know, with yellow ghee dripping on the top. We don't eat anything else. So similarly, she said, of course, she put some 2-3 conditions and all. And subsequently, we see some erratic behavior of Pururava, which eventually gets rectified in future. But the point remains that he comes from a great lineage. Who? Pururava. He comes in Chandravamsa. He was also another earthly king who was adored in the heaven also. So in this way, Shibhi Chakravarti, Nahusha, and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the cantos Prabhupada says, one time, 10,000 brahmacharis were born in also Chandravamsa, he's saying. All of them became brahmacharis. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, one whole batch of Chandravamsa dynasty people, they became renunciates. Prabhupada writes that. So in this way, she's telling that your kulam is very great. Kulam. Generally, in India, you know, when people want to get a daughter or son married, they check the kul of the other family. Correct, no? You know, whether the kul is a uncha kul or nicha kul, they check these things. They match levels. Sometimes in India, it becomes very, very fine. Even within Brahmana also, there are multiple categories. Similarly, in every level, in Kshatriya also, in Vaishya also, there are categories. But generally, the kulam is seen. Why the kulam is seen? Because if somebody comes from a great lineage, they are likely to be great. A doctor's son is likely to become a doctor. Even as a small boy, he may go to his father's hospital and put a stethoscope and do something and play with it, even as a small boy. In the same manner, somebody is born in a great kul, especially in the Vedic literature, repeatedly you will find the name of mother, father, or grandmother, grandfather, or the vamsh is quoted again and again. Like Sita Mata is called by the name Janaki. Why? Because she is daughter of Janaka. Similarly, Krishna is telling Arjuna also, Matras Parshastu. Why? Are your mother has tolerated so many troubles, more than all of you Pandavas. Why don't you also learn to tolerate? Because you are a Kaunteya. You are your son of Kunti. So learn to tolerate like your mother. So Krishna is using the word Kaunteya. Sometimes Krishna will use different names when he is addressing Arjuna, especially if you want to impress upon a certain point. So, and another reason why we use the parents' name is Remember, you come from a very great lineage. You can't afford to behave improperly. It gives a kind of reminder. So, like we whenever we do any activity, it brings good name or bad name to the spiritual master also, and to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON movement also. So, whenever somebody reminds us that you are a Prabhupada's man, you are a spiritual master's man, you should be. So immediately we become alert and we become more reminded. Correct, no? So that is why she is telling about Kulam, because your Kulam is very great, Chandravamsh. So Suri Vamsh and Chandravamsh, these two are very great Kulams in this whole world. Who comes in Surya Vamsh? Very famous personality. Who? Ramchandra. And Chandravamsh, Krishna appears. And Sheela, she is telling. What is Sheela? Sheela means, oh Krishna, you always have respect for your superiors like Yudhishthira Maharaj. You bow down to him when you see him. When Arjuna comes, you clasp his hands. When Nakula Sahadeva comes, they offer obeisances to Krishna. And also, Sheela means respect for the superiors, but friendship with equals. Compassion for the juniors. All these things put together is called Sheela. Actual meaning of the word Sheela is internal gentleness, which manifests in the external behavior. Also, that is actually Sheela. And that Sheela also manifests externally as humility also. Like when Munchukunda is asking Krishna in the Gufa, my dear Lord, who are you? You don't seem to be standing on the ground. Your feet are on a lotus. Are you Surya? Are you Chandra? Are you Agni? Or maybe are you Narayana? Who are you? I am not able to understand. I am seeing that my eyes, which have the potency to burn down anybody, has already burnt down Kalayavana, and only skeleton is seen of Kalayavana. Whereas when I look at you, my tejas of my eyes have gone away and your body is glowing like lightning. Who are you? At that time, you know what Krishna said? He said, I am son of Vasudev, he said, and my name is Vasudev. He said, that's all he said. He didn't say anything more. He didn't say, you don't know who I am? I am the one who lifted the Govardhan hill. You don't know who I am? I am the one who showed the whole Brahmanda in my mouth. He didn't say everything about himself. Sometimes if a person has accomplished some great things in life, you ask him, sir, can I know who you are? And then they will start speaking. It's like giving a key to a toy. When you give a key to a toy, start beating like this. You have seen that, So, sometimes people speak so much about themselves that others will say, no, enough now. I asked a wrong question to you. Correct, no? Isn't it? So, see, when, who is that? Yayati Raja, when he went to heaven, Indra was feeling again insecurity. So he asked a question. Oh, I am seeing you for the first time. May I know who you are? He asked him. Actually, Indra knew very well. This fellow is fit enough to become next Indra. Yayati. He was such a famous king on earth. And when somebody asks you who you are after you are so famous. So then Yayati was surprised. You don't know who I am? I am surprised. Probably you are the only guy who doesn't know who I am. If you don't know, go and ask your other fellow demigods who I am. And then he gave him a long list of the good things that he did. You see, I reformed this, I did this, I did that, and I conquered this kingdom, that kingdom. I became almost a king of the earth and everything. And now I have ascended to heaven based on my punya credits. As soon as he completed saying that, he fell from heaven. And he came down, gliding down through the antariksha. And his daughter and daughter's son, they both had a lot of punya in their account. So when they were performing yajna, he was actually falling back into that yajna. So they offered a prayer to the Lord that please take all our punya, whatever we have done, credits, and give it to him. Then again he ascended to heaven. Back. Yajna is also a great king. So because Parikshit Maharaj, when Brahmanas were telling, prophesizing about Parikshit Maharaj's good qualities, they were taking Yayati's name. They said he will be as famous as Yayati, they are saying also. Yayati is not ordinary king, but still this has to be remembered, a good lesson, that if somebody is asking about who we are, sometimes it is very difficult for us to control ourselves to tell, to not tell others who we are. So, but Krishna, he has the Shilata, which means such gentleness. I heard that there was one spiritual master who, somebody told him that I hear every morning this Sarva Damodara. Anyway, it's nothing to hide. Sarva Damodara, Guru Radhanath Maharaj. So, Sarva Damodara Prabhu's Kirtan I hear every morning, he said. Maharaj said, yeah, he sings very nicely. I also like to hear, he said. And later on, that fellow came to know that Sarva Damodara Prabhu's disciple of his own is Radhanath Maharaj. So he went to Radhanath Maharaj and said, Maharaj, you never told me, he is your disciple only. Maharaj said, yeah, he considers me his spiritual master, he said. So, this is a great lesson for us. Krishna has the Shilata. Yeah. And also, needless to say about the humble steps that Krishna takes in, you know, washing all the feet of the sages coming to Agra Puja, isn't it? Before the Agra Puja, all the sages coming to the Ratri Yajna, Krishna was washing their feet. So she is calling that quality now, Shila. And then she is telling Rupa. Katva Mukunda Mahati Kula Shila Rupa. Rupa she has already glorified in the previous verse also. Again she is quoting. Vidya Vayo Dravina Dhamma Bhiratma Tulyam. Vidya, this is learning. Because Krishna went to the Sandipani Muni's ashram and learnt how many kalas? In how many days? 64 days. So daytime he would learn the kala, nighttime he would practice. Because Krishna doesn't have to sleep. If he sleeps, that is also a pastime. Like Lord Vishnu sleeping in Anantashesh. That is also a leela only. Otherwise, he is not forced to sleep like the ordinary living beings. So, he would learn the kalas and practice. So, he knows all the kalas. Now, somebody may ask, if Krishna knows all the kalas, then why should he go to a guru? Or why should he learn from a guru? That is also a leela for him. He doesn't have to learn anything from anybody, but he derives great delight in making one of his devotees become his guru. And serving that guru very faithfully, as if he is that guru's servant. Like when Lord Ramachandra, when he appeared in this world, like, you know, many of us have heard the pastimes of Lord Rama after, you know, that Dhanush Leela and all that. But there is a Balya Leela also, when these four personalities, Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, when they were small children, they were taken to Gurukula. Of whom? Vasishtha. So Vasishtha admitted them into his Gurukul and he kept them in one of the cottages inside. And as soon as they were, he gave them seats to sit and then he circumambulated them three times and he offered obeisances and looked at Ram and said, my dear Lord, why are you doing this? You know, you are becoming my student and I have to become your guru. It's a shame. You are the master of the whole world. You are the source of whole universe. But you are putting me in this position where I have to become your teacher. So you will find something similar when Ishwarapuri told to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. But Ishwarapuri said, because you are my master, if you order me to tell this mantra in your ears, I will tell this mantra. Like that he spoke. So in this way, Krishna accepts a guru and learns Vidya. Vayo. Vayo means age. So Krishna is called as Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam. He is the oldest personality, but he is also the youngest. Generally, you know, when somebody is old, very old, they have white hair, they have long beard, and generally the symptom of old age is, and the symptom of a very old person is the old age also, is it not true? Old age. So whenever anybody thinks of somebody very old, you may also think probably they are invalid. Probably they may be holding a stick. Like you see, when Krishna comes to Mathura to meet his mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, you know, Devaki picks him up and keeps him on her lap. At the time, Krishna's age was 120 years. 120, 125. Can you imagine? Anybody's mother, because Krishna left Vrindavan at the age of 11, and at the age of 13 years, 7 months, he left Mathura and went to Dwaraka. And he remained in Dwaraka. And then later on, when Krishna came to the Kurukshetra battlefield, if you see, what was Krishna's age in the Kurukshetra battlefield? He was 125 years old, Prabhupada says that. So, you will find the mothers, the breast milk oozes out when Devaki is seeing Krishna and Balaram, because he sees them as children. So, Krishna can have that type of vatsalya because his body has no limits at all. It's not that for Devaki and Vasudev, he can manifest as a small boy. And for the queens of Dwaraka, he can manifest himself as like looking like a Dwarakadish king. And for Vrajabasis, he can be appearing like one of their playful friends or lovers. Krishna can appear himself like that. So his body has no limitation. He is ever fresh. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is like a Kishore. But although he is like a Kishore, still he is, when Yashoda sees him, she sees him as a small boy. And the same Vatsalya is there with Yashoda also. So you are always looking fresh. When the Mathura ladies, they watched Krishna, in one of the verses, I think it will come, probably in future we may get the quotation. They are saying that you look so young, you are not, although Krishna is Kishore, they say you don't look like Kishore, you look even more younger. He looks much younger than his age, his tenderness and his beauty. And Dravina means wealth. Dravina. So actually all the wealth of the world is called Lakshmi and it belongs to Krishna only. Is it not true? Like some living entities can capture some amount of money and keep with them, hold on to it till death, you know, keep it in Swiss bank or keep it in their bank account or keep it at home, make it into gold biscuits. In the Vedic times, people would bury it under the ground. You know that? They would dig the ground some 5 feet, 10 feet, and they would bury it, and they will only know the place where it is. So imagine somebody buried underground or somebody kept in the bank, and then they, after later on they die, it's gone. So if you objectively viewpoint the whole world, you know, the wealth always belongs to Krishna only. Living entities come, they catch it, hold it for some time, leave it and go. Then the sun comes, he catches it, he leaves it and goes. Then his son comes, catches it, leaves it and goes. So all the wealth, where does it remain? It remains with Krishna only. So she is telling, you are such a kind Lord that you allow the jivas to snatch some of your wealth for some time, hold it and leave it and go. So no wealth in this world belongs to anybody. It all belongs to you only. What has become wealth? In this world, the very body itself is taken away for the living beings. Which gives all the pleasure, all the... So, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but living beings take the wealth and with wealth try to purchase enjoyment for some time. Dhamma means prabhav. Dhamma means influence. Your influence is very great. Like dhamma, another meaning of dhamma is abode also. When Krishna appeared in this world, you will read in the Bhagavatam, the Sudharma assembly, which was there in Dwaraka, you know, that was such a great assembly that anybody enters that assembly will never become old. And anybody in that assembly will never feel hungry also. Amazing, no? Not because they have some stomach disorder or something. The nature of that place is, there is no thirst, there is no hunger, there is no aging process. And also it is said Dwarakavasis, those who are old people, by seeing Krishna's beauty over and over again, they became younger and younger. Huh? They always remained young, it is said. In this way, she is telling that your influence on Dwaraka and also on everybody. And then Abhiram, Dravina Dama Bir, Dravina Dama Bir, Atmatulyam. Atmatulyam means, Krishna, we cannot compare you with anybody in this world. You have to be compared with yourself only. Just like in Ramayana, it said, that Rama is so chivalrous, so beautiful, so truthful, so this, so that, that he can only be compared with whom? Not Ram only. It is said, like that she is telling, Atmatulyam. Nobody else, we cannot give any example. Like, you know, Kaviraj Goswami also says, not Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavanadas Thakur says, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his associates in the bank of Ganga. So, he first says that he looks like a moon surrounded by stars. Then he says, no, I cannot give this comparison, he says, because the moon becomes waxing and waning moon, whereas you are not like that. So, then he says, so like this he gives different comparisons and then he says, you look like Lord Krishna Chandra surrounded by his associates in the bank of Yamuna eating prasad. That's a nice example, he says. This is very fitting for you. So, Lord can be compared to Lord only ultimately. Lord Chaitanya has to be compared to Krishna only. No other comparison for him. And then she says, Dhirapatim kulavati navrani takanya. She's telling, who in this world? Oh Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth and influence. Oh lion amongst men, Kale Narsingha. This Narsingha is not Lord Narsingadev coming out of pillar. This is lion amongst men. Kale Narsimha. Oh lion among men, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? So, she is telling Dhira means sober. Patim, Kulavati. So, Krishna also has a Kulam. And Rukmini also is a Kulavati, coming from a very good Kulam. Na Vrinita, why will she not marry? Kale Narsimha Naraloka Mana Abhiramam. You are a delighter of the hearts of all living beings. Like that she is telling. So, Mukunda has one more meaning, which is Mukasmita Kundavat Iti Mukunda, it is said. Mukasmita means yes, smiling face, cheerful face. Kunda means a particular jasmine flower, which is a blossomed flower. Mukasmita Kundavat Iti Mukunda, that is another meaning. So this was a very important verse, so I spent a lot of time in this. This one and the previous one also. Shrutva Gunan. Now we will go faster.
Tanme bhavan kaluvrata patiranga jayam atmar pitascha bhavatotra vibho videhi mavira bhagam abhimarshatu chaidya arat Gomayuvan Mrigapater Balimam Bhujaksha.
Somebody can read the translation, please. Yeah. You have another mic we have? Who has a loud voice? Yeah. பவான் கலுவிருத்த பத்திரங்க ஜாயாம். Therefore, I have chosen you as my husband. This is a very important word. Tatme bhavan kalubrita patranga jayam. So, I have chosen you as my husband, she says. Which means the jiva has to choose Krishna as the master in his life. If the jivatma does not use his free will to choose Krishna as the master in life, then the jiva is always going to be flowing in other directions in life. There is a saying in English, energy flows where intent goes. So if one's intent makes one accept something else as superior in life, then one is going to put one's energy in that direction. Correct? No? Like materialistic people put so much energy in material accomplishments because they think there is some value there according to them. Correct? No? Some jnanis go to Himalayas and they work so hard doing tapasya because they think there is some value in that. Getting freedom from cycle of birth and death. So, whatever we think as arthadam, that in that direction only we will put endeavors. So, Rukmini says that I am convinced that accepting you as my master will bring me all happiness, she is telling. So, this is called Shraddha. You know this famous verse? All of you repeat this verse. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kohe sudrida nishchai. Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti Sarva Karma, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hai. So, the meaning of this verse is, if I take to Krishna consciousness, my life will become successful. I have nothing else to worry. Krishna will take care. He will take care of my family. He will take care of what is good for me, what is bad for me. He knows about my welfare better than I know about my welfare. Actually, it is a fact. Actually, we have no ability to protect ourselves in this world. Krishna knows. Actually, you will find those devotees who have this faith, they will be very confident in life. Because they will know that whatever is happening, it is, you know, ultimately Krishna's playful game, Krishna's orchestration. Nothing happens without his will. And he is the one who is moving the pawn. We are all like pawns. This example is given in Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Yata krido upaskaranam samyoga vigamaviha tate ichchaya kriditushyatam tate veshichchaya nranam. This is a Bhagavatam verse also. We are like pawns in a chess game, and Lord is moving us from one place to another, making us do different things. We have very little freedom in this world. We are controlled by multiple factors, and the supreme factor is Krishna. We are controlled by so many people around us, and above that there are demigods who are controlling us. Above that there is Maya Devi who is controlling us through three modes. Kala, Karma, Guna, they all control us. So we have very little control ourselves. But the supreme controller is Ishvara Parama, is Krishna. And if I take shelter of him, then all other controls which people have, they cannot do anything to me. You heard this saying, what is the Jako Rakai Sanya, Marna Sakai Koi Balana Banka Kari Sakai, you know that? You know, Bal Ka Banka Nahi Kar Sakta Hai Koi Bhi. Nobody can even take out one hair of a devotee, it is said. Nobody can do anything. And this conviction will come when we know that Krishna is in control. Just like, you know, Radhana Swami gives this example. Like a mother or father, they take and throw away the child in the air, you know. Child has no fear because child knows actually they are playing with me. And I am sure to land back in their hands only. Imagine if a watchman or a policeman were to do that. Can any child accept it? If a policeman catches, that is putting, child will cry like anything. He's going to kill me or something, isn't it? So when Krishna medals, we can't say medals, Krishna plays with devotees, like you can find in the life of Parikshit. He got a curse that in 7 days he has to die. Similarly, with the Brahmastra, how many times Brahmastra? One Brahmastra was aimed at Parikshit in the womb. Another Brahmastra was aimed at the Pandavas. And at that time, Lord Krishna watched. This Ashwatthama has aimed at both the last Shishu of Pandava dynasty and the 5 Pandavas also. And he understood, my devotees have no power to save themselves. It is an extremely fast Brahmastra. Even before they can pick up their weapons and prepare themselves, they'll be finished. Krishna knew that. So what he did? He, inside the Uttara's heart, he seated as Paramatma. He wrapped up the yoni of Uttara and protected the child Parikshit. And outside, he took a Sudarshan Chakra and nullified the effect of Brahmastra. Pandavas were saved. And all this was watched by whom? Kunti Maharani. That's why she said, Antar Bahir Avastitam. You are inside Uttara's heart also and you are outside also. Inside and outside I have seen Krishna, how you protect your devotees. So, one has to, actually we read the scriptures. First we should know Krishna is the Adi Purusha. Then we should know he is the creator, he is the maintainer, he is the protector. He is the special well-wisher of devotees. He is equal to all living beings in terms of supplying the basic ingredients and all. But he has a special well-wisher of his devotees. He has a special connection. He feels just like a king feels for a prince or princess. Like that Krishna feels for his devotees. Although king may be charitably disposed to many other visitors to the palace. So she's telling, therefore I have chosen you, my lord, as my master, husband.
Purteshta datta niyama vrata deva vipra. Gurvarchana adibiralam bhagavan pareshaha. Aradhito yadigada graja etya panim. Grihnatu mena dama dama gosha sutadayonye.
Somebody can read translation. So she is telling here that actually she is feeling herself very unqualified. She is thinking Krishna is a very very great personality and I am very very unqualified. And I think I am asking for something which is too big a favor from Krishna to accept me as his queen. So considering like this, she is telling, in case I have done some punya in my purva janam, by worshipping Lord Vishnu, I have done some yajna, some daan, some ritrivaj. Or if I have worshipped the devatas, brahmanas and gurus, then let Lord accept me, she's telling. So this verse talks about the importance of punya karma. Now, sometimes in our movement, people think that punya karma is useless because, you should not give any coin to a beggar because you only... because that will be punya, then you have to go to heaven. Similarly, people think you cannot do any favor for the poor. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, if a beggar comes to you and extends the arms, he is begging for Krishna. So, either you give Krishna in the form of prasadam, or at least you give a coin. You should make them chant Hare Krishna, and you give a coin. If you don't give anything, you will become hard-hearted, he said. So, we can make them chant Hare Krishna, then the money you give becomes sanctified also. and give also. Similarly, you see some people do in Vrindavan, Jirnodar, they call it, like Radha Kund, Sham Kund and other holy places, some people are doing, which is a very good work. So, that is also a Punya Karma. Similarly, some people build Dharmashalas, or Sadhu Sadhan and things like that, which is also a dharmic activity. Like, you know, when a man does business, he may do some cheating, and making extra money or bribe and all that. So some amount of sin comes in that. But if one does some kind of this kind of dharmic activities, Prabhupada writes in that verse, Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, Tatapare, in that purport, in the fourth chapter. So, it is said by such punya, sometimes accidents are offset. And also, the Shastras say that if a man leaves his home, if he leaves his country and he wants to enter into America, what is required to go to America? You need a passport, visa and all you need, correct? No? So, your currency note will not be of help there. You need dollar notes there. Similarly, you need a visa also. Similarly, whatever we accumulate in this world, like money we accumulate, home and degrees, everything we have to leave behind at the time of death. We cannot carry anything. You can't carry your laptop. We cannot carry your car. We cannot carry your bungalow. I am saying like this because one time, Shyamanpu was giving a lecture. He said the king renounced chariots and elephants and horses and gold and diamonds. And one brahmachari said, Prabhuji, I am not attached to any of this you are selling. So he said that, okay, I will rephrase it, he said. How he rephrased it? We have to leave behind, the equivalent of chariot is car. Isn't it? Yeah. Similarly, the equivalent of mystic powers is mobile. Now, you know, isn't it? So, similarly, the equivalent of Rajamahal is a home, you know, and relatives, friends, everything, one has to leave behind. Similarly, the equivalent of all the weaponry and elephant horse, everything, you have a laptop, which is your weapon. So, we have to know the age, the time may change, different ages may come, but the mental attachment is same, whether it is Vedic times or modern times. Attachments are there. But when we leave all these things behind and go, at the time of death, what does the soul carry? He carries a punya, papa and bhakti. These three things only he carries. So, punya is something that will bring one to a good family in the next life. Like Shastra say, those who are not punyatmas, even if they are introduced to bhakti, they cannot practice steady bhakti for a long time. If one has not done punya. Sometimes we say, the hippies became happies. But are they continuing to be happy? It's very important. Because we may have somebody coming from a very, very degraded background. And then suddenly they took to bhakti, they developed, they fell in love with Prabhupada, they took it, and after Prabhupada left the planet, many of them gave up also. They could not continue. And we should not look down upon them because they have done a lot of hard work for Prabhupada. They have brought so many people to the movement. And their love for Prabhupada is still there in their heart. But they are struggling to not again go back to the drugs. Not again go back to the old bad ways. Because the punya account may be very poor. So the Shastras say our punya account is like a lota and bhakti is like milk. We can only hold milk in a lota, in a glass. So if one has a punya background, then the bhakti can be steady for a long time. That is why the Shastras, while in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there is Sattviki Bhakti, there is Nirguna Bhakti, both. But Nirguna Bhakti is Vishuddha Sattva. But before we can come to Nirguna Bhakti, we have to practice Sattviki Bhakti also, which is within the three modes. So, in Sattviki Bhakti, one can also do many Punya activities and connect them to Krishna also. In the stage of Nirguna Bhakti, it is Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, where one where everything one does is Krishna consciousness only. So, That's why she is quoting about the punya activities also.
Shobhavini tvamajito dvahane vidarbhan. Gupta sametya pratana pati biparitaha. Nirmatya chaidya magadhendra balam prasahya. Mam rakshasena vidinod bhagavirya shulkam.
Translation something. She's saying Shobhavini, day after tomorrow. Actually, it's written tomorrow here in the translation. So she's telling at the time of marriage ceremony when you will come, she's giving a clue to him how you should come. She's telling, don't come with a big army. If you do that, there will be a very big fight. And the whole, our plan may be foiled. She's telling you come alone, yourself. But it's not that you have to come alone. You call all your best of your commanders and people in a group, small group of people. But they should come individually. And then, but after you come to Kauntinyapur, you bring them all together in a small group, but very powerful people of small people. Small group of Like if you were to give some weightage, say one soldier, if you would give 10 count weight, and Maharathi would be like 10,000. So you bring some 4, 5, 10,000 weight wale people. You bring such kind of people with you, and you come alone, but you should come in disguise in such a way that easily it doesn't create any doubt or suspicion in anybody. But at appropriate time, at the time of marriage ceremony, she's telling, you crush the forces of Chaidya and Vagadendra and marry me. And then, which style? Rakshasa style. So what is Rakshasa style? There are many styles. Like Gandharva style means like a love marriage. The Vedic times also there was love marriage. But what kind of love means? People wouldn't love anybody, would love anybody. Like when Dushyant Raja was going in the jungle, his eyesight fell on Shakuntala. And immediately he developed a desire to marry her. Like we call it as love at first sight. And then he said to himself, how is it that my mind is getting swayed by the attraction of a woman like this? I don't know whether she has to be a Kshatrani. Because I am a Kshatriya, she has to be Kshatrani. He was fully confident because I come from a great kulam, pure family. And I cannot think of any woman in my mind like this. So, he had such a confidence in the lineage in which he is coming, that because my mind is attracted to this woman, she must be Kshatrani. Like that he said. And then when he asked her, who are you? She said, I am Kanvamuni's daughter. And he was surprised. He couldn't believe, how is she a Brahmani? I am a Kshatriya. I cannot marry a Brahmani. It will be Pratiloma marriage. A Kshatriya cannot marry a Brahmana girl. So he asked her, go back and find out who you are. You are not Kanvamuni's daughter. So when she found out, whose daughter was she? Vishwamitra and Menaka. And Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya. He was a Kaushika Raja who became Vishwamitra later. So she was naturally a Kshatrani only. So this is love marriage, you can understand. Not that anybody falls in love. Love marriage is a serious love marriage. Not an ordinary love marriage. Nowadays people fall in, a boy falls in love with a girl for some time, they're hanging around in bike here and there, and then his friend only elopes with his girlfriend. And this fellow goes into depression, he takes some, sleeping pills and everything. And then when he comes out of the depression, Then he goes with another girl now. He's roaming. And she went with that boy, and that boy left her, and he's a playboy. He left her and went to another girl, and she went to another boy. It goes on like that. So, when we are talking about Vedic marriage, love marriages are also serious. Similarly, Rakshasa style marriage means a Kshatriya was allowed to come in a Swayamvar ceremony and pick up a girl only if she also desires to marry him. Here, Rukmini wants to marry Krishna. And Krishna also wanted to marry her, so he can take her. Not that he will do it secretly in the night with nobody's knowledge. All the Kshatriyas will be hanging around and everybody will attack him and he has to fight. Kshatriya means he has to fight the battle and win over them, and then only he can marry. Otherwise he cannot marry. Not an easy thing. Just like Samba, you all know. He tried to do such a rakshasa viha, but he got captured. Correct, no? And Duryodhana and company, they kept him. Correct, no? So it's not that it's a very easy thing, rakshasa marriage. If somebody is very mighty, they could try that. And this kind of... So she is telling that you take me. Now, this is very relevant to our lives also. You see, you practice dharma, your relatives, friends, worldly people will have no problem with you. If you are a dharmic person. But you practice parodharma, problem starts. Why parodharma creates problem for people? Parodharma means love of God. People see that this person's interest in material life is reducing. That's one thing people are surprised. Kya ho gaya iska? Aisa kabhi nahi tha pehle. Hamesha Hare Krishna bolta hai. You know, people are surprised. Always he's taking up. Like, you know, I remember first time when I went to home as Hare Krishna devotee. You know, I had come to 16 rounds. So I went to the puja room, sitting there and chanting. You know, after every 10 minutes, my father was peeping in. You know, saying, come and watch. 2 hours I've completed my rounds. When I came out, he said, appears that God is going to descend today only. you know, he said, you are calling him so strongly that it seems he will come now only. He said, why do you have to do so much bhakti? You know, go in front of God for 2 minutes, you ring the bell and offer some milk or something. Come back and do your prescribed duties. Most parents, they feel like that in India. Most parents will say, if my son or daughter is a pious boy or girl, they are doing little bit of bhakti, they are happy. But when you become serious in devotional service, and Krishna becomes everything for us. He is the mother, he is the father, he is the relative, he is the friend, he is be all and end all, and our very life itself becomes pran for us. And many people cannot understand what is. So this is one reason. And also you will find, Krishna has to extricate us out of our material situation in this world, where first he has to save us from external enemies. Our external enemies are our own colleagues in the surroundings of our home, offices and everywhere. Then even within family, one can have non-devotees who are not favorable to Krishna consciousness, who may oppose one's Krishna consciousness. And one may have to be saved from them. And then comes the more serious danger, which are enemies within our own heart, namely lust and greed and pride and anger and envy and all that. So, on one hand, we want Krishna also and we want Maya also. So, Krishna has to pull us. You'll find Rukmini has attraction for her brother Rukmi also. And also she's telling, Krishna, if you come to the Antapuram, to take me, you may be afraid that there may be a big bloodshed. There'll be a lot of women and a lot of other men in the court and a lot of people may die in that. So don't come there. You come to the Ambika's temple, she's telling. Because she is also concerned that her relatives and friends, you know, they don't die. She wants to marry Krishna, at the same time, want to see them happy also. How many of you agree it's our situation also? Correct? That's why it's very relevant. You know, it's not that we want to be hard-hearted to our relatives and friends and make them cry while getting Krishna. At the same time, you will see sometimes it becomes inevitable. When we want Krishna, some people, like Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, all your relatives, friends, they will give you a lot of ideas for economic development, how to make more money. You just nod the head and hear it in 1 year and leave it in another year. And you follow Guru's path, he's telling. So that's why she is giving. So this goes to show she is a Chatrani. Who? She is born in a Chatra family, Rukmini, from one point of view. And she is giving ideas, strategy, how Krishna can get her out very nicely without any kind of problem. She can very easily.
Antapurantarachari manihatya bandhun. Swamudbahe kathamiti pravadamyupayam. Purvedyurasti mahati kuladeva yatra. Yasyam bahir navavadur girijamupeyat.
Since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? But I shall tell you a way. On the day before the marriage, there is a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. And in this procession, the new bride goes outside the city to visit goddess Girija.
Yeah. So, here, this is transcendental diplomacy. She is telling Krishna how I'll be going to Girija temple before the marriage. I'll be carried in a palanquin. On either side there'll be soldiers with swords. Some of them with bows and arrows. Some of them will be on either side. Naturally the princess is escorted. There'll be plenty of hundreds and thousands of soldiers behind also. And as they take me, I will be getting off the palanquin to go to the temple of Ambika. And that is the best way, best time to take me. Why? Because she says that at that time I won't be in the Antapuram, and you will not, in the course of taking me with you, you will not be killing so many soldiers or even the ladies who may come to protect her. Like that she's telling. Similarly, you will find sometimes your friend calls you to a movie. Chalo, we will go to a movie. But you have to tell a lie. That I have a headache or I have fever. And second time he calls you, now you say I have dysentery. So this fellow will wonder, every time I call him to a movie, he has some very good, you know, 3-4 different reasons he has given me. Then he will understand you are not interested. Correct now. So dharmic people are generally supposed to not tell lies at all. But when you are practicing parodharma, sometimes the only criteria is anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa varjana. For my bhakti is going to movie anukul, it's not anukul. So we have to do some way by which we can escape. And we will not have to oblige. Sometimes devotees, they are very soft natured. So they feel very difficult to say no to others. Somebody calls to the home and they tell them to eat something, and you know, which is not offered to Krishna. Or sometimes they call them to certain places. So some people are confident to say a firm no. But other devotees, due to the softness, sometimes they cannot say no. Like Gadadhar Pandit used to be very soft natured. Advaita Acharya Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they all rejected when Vallabha had brought some commentary on Bhagavatam, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to hear. But Gadadhar Pandit wanted to hear, because he didn't want to put up any, what do you call it? He could not say no to him. So similarly, in our dealing with non-devotees, one has to know how I can safeguard my Krishna consciousness. But actually, it's not that every now and then we keep telling lies and we are very happy telling lies. Every day I release 50 lies. No. But generally, we should always speak the truth. But when there is a need, Like somebody asks you, can you come for that marriage party or somewhere? You know that, you know, they are going to have boozing, smoking, you know, all kinds of partying. You don't want to go. Then you can say, oh, sorry, I'm out of session on that particular day, you know. So especially for grihasthas, it's more challenging because sometimes they have to deal with people. You know? Like one Mataji was telling, when she goes to cultivate some people in their home, they fondly offer some eatable. They want to give some peda cow. Or sometimes they want to make something and give at home. So, in case she tells a flat no to them, no, I don't eat anything outside. We only take prasad. Then they will say that, are we fools? Are we atheists? Hum bhi bhakti karte hain Bhagwan ki. Ye khane mein kya harkat hai aapko? Ye toh non-veg nahi hai. You know, it's like that. Sometimes people become very, somebody want to, you know, break a cake and feed you in the mouth, some non-devotee. And you don't know whether egg is there or not. And even if egg is not there, still it is non-prasad also. So, then this Mataji was telling what she tells. She told her that, no, Mataji, instead of this, you know, I have some medical issues, if you can give me some fruits. So then that lady went in and she brought some cut fruits. Then this lady was wondering whether to eat this or not, because in their home they are eating meat also. Whether they must have cut some goat or something with the same knife, you know. So sometimes when you're cultivating new people, these challenges can come. So you may have to tell lies. You can say that, okay, you can give me some uncut fruits. You know, that is directly a gift from Krishna, from nature. You can accept that if you're cultivating from new people. But the idea is, sometimes we may have to tell lies, but we have to make sure that we are not unnecessarily speaking lies. So, similarly, here also she is giving Krishna some diplomatic ideas by which she can cause least damage to her relatives and friends, but at the same time she can surrender to Krishna fully. She can get Krishna. And then next verse we have finished before. Yasyangri pankaja rajasna sapana mahanto. From that, we went to the next chapter also. This one I think. Verse number 28. No. We have finished up to 31. Up to 31 we had finished. Now I'll stop here. Because today you all heard a long class in the morning also, based on Lokanath Maharaj also. So, next time when we meet, we will start from 10.53.32. Yeah. So there are three more important themes that we will complete. Probably it will take two more classes, I think. One is now Rukmini going to Ambika's temple, very important scene. Prior to that, there is one more scene of Bhishmaka, how he received Krishna and Balaram. And how the how the Kauntinyapur Vasis, when they looked at Krishna, how they spoke, what they spoke. That's one section. Then she going to Ambika temple is second section. And then afterwards, Jarasandha and Shishupal and company, you know, they all are having some discussion and fighting back. That is one section. And then finally, the Dwaraka Vasis receiving Krishna and Rukmini and celebrating the marriage is last. So probably two sections will be finished and two more settings I'll finish. Shri Prabhupada ki, aur Bhaktavrinda ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.